The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
End of the last week, full week, in the year 2018. Gone already. What do you think it lasted this year? 4 months? 5 months? Maybe? Some would say less, some would say more. If you like 2018, you're going to love 2019. Just hang on. They're already talking, those crooks and criminals on both sides of the aisle in Congress, about the war they're about to begin against Donald Trump. Some defending, some attacking. There's no question about it. It's going to be ugly. These people are not consumed with the idea of taking care of the agenda items, the wishes, the hopes of their constituency. No. They're pushing their own agendas. They're pushing the international Zionist globalist agenda, and that's to create chaos and cause nothing but grief. They're going to do it. Hang on. It's going to be a rough ride. Back with us tonight is Dean Henderson. Dean was going to take off to celebrate his mom's birthday. And that nasty, and I guess it's pretty nasty, blizzard got in the way. So he is with us tonight. Hello, Dean.
Hello, Jeff. Well stated, as usual. And yes, the blizzard, but that's just where I come from.
Yeah.
It happens, yeah. So yeah, we'll get him next time. We rescheduled it for a summertime thing. It's her 80th birthday, so.
Good.
But actually, it's in February, actually, so it was just kind of a, more of a, you know, get the kids together and do the gifts and then celebrate her 80th, but it wasn't really her 80th, so yeah, it's fine. Too bad, but yeah, you just have to, you know, you have to use your noggin and, be smart about it.
And, don't push it. No.
Don't push it. Don't get crazy. No.
Not worth it.
So. Glad
all right.
To be with you again.
Thank you. Always great to talk with you. We've had another really bizarre year, and it is going to continue. Let's first go with the current situation of the government shutdown. About 350,000 government workers they're already furloughed. About 450,000 are working without pay right now. This whole ugly soap opera is like punk kids on a playground. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. It's nuts. First of all, the idea of building a wall everyone agrees, will cost at least $25 billion. Now, when you add in traditional American contractor overruns, you can push that up another $10 to $15 billion. It'll be $40 billion if they actually ever build. They're not going to. I've been saying this for 2 years. It's not going to happen. So Trump was asking for 5.7. Now he's willing to compromise. So what if he gets $3 billion in the end? And a lot of people have been put out of sorts. Their finances destroyed. They're going to have to make payments this month, and many of them won't be able to, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have the issue of food stamps and welfare to people who really need it. Many of them do. And there's 38 million of them who are going to lose their food stamp benefits and at the end of the month, January, if this isn't resolved. The bottom line is, even if Trump gets money to build a wall, he'll never be able to build a wall with $3 billion. He won't be able to do anything much. Maybe revamp a few places here and there. I don't know. It's the whole thing is embarrassing. It's ugly. It is beyond humiliating to be a patriot in this country now and to look at this alleged government, Dean, doing this to all of us. And it is.
Yeah, it's going to look like a picket fence.
Sure.
It's just reflects a deeper cultural kind of sickness, I think.
Oh, it's a sickness,
which,
all right.
Yeah. You know, yeah, which has been exacerbated with, by the internet and all the critics and all running people down on the internet, making fun of people and just always criticizing everybody. And just
how often do we see
people can't get along? I mean,
I was just going to say, I had to jump in. How often do we see nice words on the internet anymore about anybody?
Yeah.
You just don't.
It's become sort of fashionable to fight, to always want to fight, and always want to, be right and dig in and I'm not compromising. And it's one thing if you don't compromise on principles, real actual principles. I agree you shouldn't compromise on principles. But these aren't principles. These are just numbers. These are just, come down a billion, go up a billion, get it done. I mean, it's not that hard. Again, like you said, it's just chaos. That's what it is. It's divide and conquer. It's the pretending that there really are two parties, which they aren't. There's just one banker-controlled, corporate-funded party.
And the Goldman Party.
Yeah, the Goldman Party, and it's in the middle. It likes being in the middle. People thought, fascism or communism are so dangerous. But what's really dangerous is this sort of middle of the road, this middle sort of centrist, sort of neoliberal, sort of thought police. Divide and rule bunch, and as long as we have money in politics and the bankers are buying our elected officials to put them in there to place them in power to do their bidding, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get some of the most ignorant people you've ever imagined. You're going to get some of the people with the lowest integrity you can ever dream of, and this is our U.S. Congress for the most part,
And then we can look at the... That's terrible. We can look at the courts, the judges. Come on. It's all rotten.
Across the board.
It's totally. It, I think, frankly, has been headed to this point for such a long time that it is far beyond remediation. I'm not calling for a revolution and overthrow here. I'm just saying it's not fixable. It is now structural. That's
I'll
my
call
view.
For it. Yeah. I'll go ahead and go out on the limb and call for it.
Well,
ooh, I'm really out of the limb, but yeah, look at the yellow vest, and there's what's coming. We can only hope. I know there's some people think this is just another whatever George Soros sponsored thing, but I don't think so, because I saw the 25-point manifesto, and one of the things is breaking up the bank monopolies and talking about Macron being a Rothschild stoolie, which he did work for Rothschild, bank.
What a punk.
So I think it's real, and it's a cross-section. It shows how the alt-right and the radical left can work together. Maybe we don't have the same solutions, but we have the same enemy, and we have to find this unity, this common ground. And that's a really good example. And unfortunately, the oligarchs, the powers that be, they tend to listen when some of their stuff gets broken. And that's what the oligarchs have been doing. And, you know, they're serious. And now it's spread to Belgium. I heard it spread to Hong Kong now. There's some yellow vest things in Hong Kong. And it's, I mean, I saw people being interviewed on TV, and they're just these old gray-haired ladies, 80 years old, and talking, and they're just out in the streets, and they just don't, you know, they make them wear yellow vests to drive a car now. And they tell them, you know, what to do, and they blame global warming on them and say they should pay for it. And my God, you know, they can't live. I mean, the French, who have had a pretty high standard of living, used to work a 32-hour week long after we'd gone to 40 and fought for it with head unions, you know, had everything, and now they're just taking it away. And they're privatizing it, neoliberalizing it under Macron, and they're not taking it. So that's the solution, and it is a revolution. And it is just people saying, you know, we're not going to work, we're not buying your stuff, we're not buying into your program, we're not going along with the crowd. And if people, you know, if we ever wanted to change, I think that's what it's going to take, honestly.
Yeah. It's also notable that Americans don't seem to have that ability to get up off their wallets, empty as they are, and get out and do anything anymore. There's something missing, and I'm going to talk about that in the next hour. We're electrical beings first. Everything in the mind is controlled by various kinds of EMF and electronics. Just a chemical element, of course, but this is all manageable and manipulatable from the outside. Hostility, aggression, happiness, peace, tranquility, generosity, all these things that make us unique, allegedly, on the planet, are controllable. And that's where the big money has been going for 20, 30, 40 years, to try to learn how to mass control the people. Electromagnetic frequencies. I'm going to talk about that the next hour. But anyway, so this, good points, and unless yellow vests get out there, the same people. Here's the problem with what you were saying, and it's 100% correct. The spokespeople on both the fake left and the fake right are owned and installed and selected by the same Goldman Party. So what are we going to get? We're getting jerked this way and jerked that way, and this artificial chaos, which really shouldn't exist. We should learn to get along and stop this crap about calling each other names and the mean-spiritedness of these people. A lot of it's by design, and don't forget that. You all know that. You're being played, okay? So there you go. And the mainstream media, more than happy to propagate this horrible, excremental behavior that we're seeing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and America is the laboratory for the electronic experiment. And like you said, there's just something missing. And, well, look at this last, whatever, 2-3 months, the holiday season, the Satan Claus ritual, which every year just bums people out, drains their wallets, makes them feel guilty, makes them feel ashamed, makes them feel bad. I mean, it's just horrible, and I'm so glad it's over. And has nothing to do with anything spiritual or anything good anymore.
No, point well taken. Understood.
You know, and so, I mean, these are the kind of mind control things that are just so pervasive, you know, in America. But Americans have to get smart. They have to unplug. They have to turn TV off and turn the internet off, and they have to just realize it's going on. I just am floored at how few people still understand. You know, still want to believe, for example, the mainstream media news, or even watch it, or even take it seriously, and just let them, you know, get their blood pressure up. And then, of course, there's always that last story at the end of the half hour news about some hero, and that sort of legitimizes the whole broadcast of lies.
That's the sugar coating on the pill of brain control.
These are really good people. I can trust them. And they've got it all figured out. And they just got it all figured out. So yeah, it's mass mind control, and like we were talking last time, it's gotten down to now it's individual mind control. You know, knowing what your DNA is, because you paid ancestry.com, and you paid them, and then you provided DNA to them, and they should pay you.
You're signing up, folks.
It's like Facebook. You provide the content, you provide the clicks, and they don't even pay you. And you, but Americans, they just have no dignity. They seem to think it's okay just to be like gang raped every day, 24 hours a day. That there's something okay about that, even good about that. And until, you know, until people just can get off their knees and just like stand up to people, stand up to the powers that be, stand up to authority of any kind, false authority of any kind. And that's the decay. That's the cultural disease that really, to me, you know, it's not a political solution anymore. It's a cultural solution. It has to come from people's hearts, and it has to start with them individually, because, you know, until we get stronger and we realize that we're just being attacked, and we are being attacked, we are being mind controlled. But until we realize that, I mean, what can you do? You know, what can you really do with this mess?
No, and they know it. They know they've got it. It's game, set, and match right now to the Goldman Party. They know what's going on. I just remember I worked 12 years in television news as a producer, anchorman, and a writer. I did it all, and I walked away from it. Big money. I knew where it was going. I could see it. I wanted nothing to do with it. And I laid out a couple of years and then realized that talk radio, before it became such a widespread pandemic, was the way to reach people. They were listening. They were involved. They were engaged. They were thinking. And that was, so that's why I started this program. But now we've got, I will be willing to wager there are at least 100,000 talk radio, and I use the term loosely, podcasts and broadcasts and garage casts and whatever else you've got, that's available online now. I'm not kidding. And they're all derivative of one another. They're all copying one another. They're desperately trying to be what? Celebrities. This is the culture, the cult of celebrity. You can't make it any other way. What do? Start a talk show, right? That's basically what a lot of people are doing. So, and I know you listening out there understand all that. I've had emails from people for years. Geez, I listen to all these other shows. They say the same things. Yeah, funniest thing. There's not much originality out there left. Our culture, I am afraid, Dean, has decayed and deconstructed so egregiously at this point. When you look at the millennials coming up now, anybody born, well, after 85 or so, where's the affirmation of proactive living? It's all reactive. Now, I don't blame them, because they've been conditioned, controlled, created, molded. Actually, they are the product. And they are drooling, and they are Pavlovian in their reactions. They're reactive people. They're consuming reactive bots. They're not they're exceptions, and you know I'm speaking in generalities, everyone. They're reactive, drooling, Pavlovian bots. That's what they are. This generation will not live as long as its parents. It is not as smart as its parents. And the next generation, God help us all. That's all I can say.
And it's the product is the word that stuck out in that eloquent rant you just finished. But product, because, it used to be they just sold us their products, and now we are the product. And that's just really scary. And that's just the depth of how far this has been taken, how far this sort of Luciferian, monopoly capitalist cartel, full spectrum dominance, military industrial nightmare has come. That's how far it's come, to where you're now a product, and you can be manipulated, and you can be sold on Facebook, FaceTime, talk radio.
Oh, yeah.
Just a product, and that's all you are.
We're inventory.
We're inventory. Pretty soon we're going to be all with RFID chips. I mean, and literally that's what they want. I mean, they want to just, they've robbed people's souls. They're on a mission to rob everyone's soul, to tell you that you're nothing more than a product, that you don't even have a soul, that you have no worth, that reality is, the Big Bang Theory and atomic physics and all these lies that do come out of the whether it's the Royal Geographic Society, the Royal Astronomy people, or whoever it is that makes this stuff up, that makes this reality, pulls the screen down in front of us and says, this is this mundane world that you live in. This is the reality. You might as well just submit to it. There's no spiritual higher power. You know, we are God, the fallen angels, and we're smarter than God, and there's no God. And that's the whole message, is you're just a product, and this is no validation for any sort of spiritual, real spiritual understanding of things. There's a lot of fake spirituality with the churches and this and that, but it's not real either. And it's based on the same understanding and the same lies. And so it's really, again, it's a spiritual cultural crisis, and people are being attacked. I mean, life itself, humanity, not just humanity, but life itself is under attack, and as we know it. And so it's really, but it's just going to take people, again, just getting off their knees. It's not that we can't overcome it, but how can we overcome it if there's not the awareness?
And we've lost the awareness. That's what they've taken away. They've taken it away. Yeah, here's how the product, the inventory, often works. There is inculcated into the human emotional mind in these younger people, not all of them, a need for validation. And that word is intimately connected to the word addiction. And I'm talking about smartphone addiction / validation. You're not anything unless you're socially involved and interactive with somebody or something else on the other end of that phone or screen. And when you get a text or you get a message or you get whatever, a video, like, look at this video, that's validation. Unless you get validation, most people, if you sit them in a room without that phone, they will go into physiological, psychological, horrible withdrawals, the DTs, right away.
Yeah, beautiful. An addiction, which is constantly reinforced through constant validation. So you set up a mechanism where you can create people's sense of self through the need for constant validation, right. Electronic validation, which just furthers their addiction.
And that's right. They have to be engaged.
I mean,
they have to be engaged.
They have to be connected, so-called connected, which isn't, of course, as we know, connected at all, connected to nothing. We're over-connected, okay? That's part of the problem. In the old days, we didn't need to be constantly in touch with everybody all the time. We were big boys and girls. We went out into the world, and we lived our lives. And everybody had to do the same. And it's not that we didn't love our friends and our family, but we didn't have to constantly be connected to them.
And you know what happens?
Part of the problem.
What happens when we're disconnected and disengaged? We think. And what happens when we think? Ideas. New concepts.
Awareness.
We process. We become better. We become wiser. Can't become wiser if you're always on output. No chance. And input. It's a game. Back in a minute with Dean Henderson. Hold on. Okay, we are back. We have a lot going on the world stage, and all the world is a stage, and it is a game, it is a play, it is dark as Shakespearean stories can be, It's as funny as some of the greatest slapstick if you look at it properly. But ultimately, a lot of people are dying and suffering constantly. Constantly. The average American doesn't even know how many people there are on the planet, how many people there are in this country. They couldn't tell you the basics about government and how it operates, including Ocasio-Cortez, who didn't know there were three parts of our governmental process. All of these people that are given these massive amounts of public exposure are idiots, a lot of them. They're just idiots. They're images, they're icons, they're being marketed and sold to the sheep. And when you own the media, it's like shooting ducks in a barrel, or fish, or anything else you want to shoot. I mean, it's crazy, crazy. Another comment, then we're going to go overseas here. We got to talk about Syria for a bit. Anything else?
Well, no, just, right up to the set of batter. I mean, just, it's a problem. And it's just, you live in this kind of comfortable kind of empire, and you don't have to know about the rest of the world. You don't even have to know about your own government. You just...
Oh, no, they make it easy.
Your product. I mean, and the best product for these liars and thieves is a dumb product, and so that's what you get. It's just like with politicians, with the courts, it's the same in the media. The worst, dumbest people, I mean, these journalists, these people that pass for journalists are just some of the most ignorant shills you could ever... They just don't know anything, but that's who they hire. That's what they want. And it's all about just perpetuating the lie, keeping it going, keeping the oligarchy intact. But I see a lot of cracks in the oligarchy, and that's a good place to dovetail into the overseas thing because, well, Syria. Okay, so why is Trump getting out of Syria? Well, maybe it's because, he's the big savior of QAnon, and I hope so. But why is he getting out of Afghanistan? But I think that it's because we were defeated, and because the YPG, which we support in Syria, well, the day before he made the announcement, Erdogan said they were going in to get him. And that didn't sit too well, so next day Trump says we're getting out. And now it looks like the Russians are going to defend the YPG against Erdogan's invasion. There's word of this, so... But bottom line is we've been defeated. I mean, the Syrian flag went up in Kurdish territory yesterday for the first time since the war began, and it's really the last pocket. And same in Afghanistan. We're defeated. The Taliban have defeated our puppet opium-growing monarchist government there because that's the 19th century thing, and it didn't cut it. And people didn't like it, and they didn't get nothing from it. And why did we leave Iraq? Because we were defeated. So it's almost like this empire that just, it's an empire in name only because it just keeps getting defeated. And all this PNAC list of seven countries, well, every one of them, defeated. Watch what will happen in Libya. Mm-hmm. There was a bombing at the embassy the other day. 20 people died. I mean, it's still not cut and dry what's going to happen there. My prediction, Gaddafi's people get back in power because he's very popular. Once all the ISIS people get flushed out of there, once the money goes away, the people are going to speak. And this is why really the stock market's teetering. It's a lot of things. It's tariffs. It's, wage pressure, and it's interest rates going up. But it's really more about people just keep revolting and rising up and defeating this military industrial complex, this invincible oligarchy. That that's what they want us to think, that they're invincible. But look what's actually happening on the ground. Now in America, it's a little bit worse off. We're not winning here domestically, but we don't have to win if everybody else wins, and it's great. And then, okay, send the boys home. We lost. Good. I don't want to be the world's cop either. I applaud Trump for doing that. I hope he does it. And Mattis, see you later. Fine. And criticize them all you want. The neoliberals, the neocons, and everybody having a hissy fit. But it's exactly what we need to do is just pull back and Guess what? Then you won't get defeated anymore, you know. And somebody else is going to have to carry water for this global oligarchy. And they'll find somebody.
Right.
They'll find somebody, probably China. But, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of chinks in armor right now for these guys. It's not as rosy a picture. And I think we might be at a turning point globally. Something's going to give. And something's going to give here. And, you know, it's just become so obvious for most people in the world what's going on. And even for a lot of people here, despite our inability to change politics in America because of the money, it's hard. What are we going to do? It doesn't mean people aren't aware of what's going on. And that's why, you know, Trump announces these pullouts and the two major parties, which is the same party, you know, they shriek and they howl, but Trump's poll numbers go up because the average American knows that we got no business in Afghanistan. We got no business in Syria. We need roads. We need health care. We need better schools. We need things in this country, you know. So, you know,
we don't even have high speed transit yet.
Right. Right. But China can have it, I guess.
My God.
God, I go to Malaysia, there's solar panels. There's whole towns where they're just building these solar panel homes, mm-hmm. you know, sustainable, just everything, free energy off of, it's third world country or whatever, so-called. And the freeways in Malaysia just blow your mind. I mean, my God, just really way nicer than here. And, yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's the thing. And what we do need to be an isolationist country. You know, that's what I'd love to see. You know, and it's not gonna be without a fight, but maybe it's a good start. I see what's in front of me, and I like that particular direction that Trump's been going here. You know, he flies to Iraq, indicates the same thing about Iraq, that, you know, says we don't want to be the global policeman anymore. That's all good. I agree.
I like what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing something a little deeper, a little different at any rate. Let's take Syria. All right. The YPG, we walked out, and basically Trump pulling out would seemingly have left them defenseless. No, anybody knows when there's a vacuum, it's filled. All right. And it's being filled by Russia, and the Syrian army has moved into, was it Manbij today, or whatever the city's name is? First time in 7-8 years. And that's a YPG city. So they're in there. They are going to, with Russian help, fill the void that the 2,200 or however many there really were, American troops were filling there, helping the Kurds. The Russians and the Syrians will ship them the arms that we were shipping them. We may still ship them. Who knows? They'll just put different labels on the boxes. That Syria is not the withdrawal that Trump would like us to think it is. That was the northeastern part of the country. Nothing was mentioned about the West, the South, and no. We're still there. We got special forces. And also filling that vacuum where needed, wherever needed, will be Blackwater and other mercenary companies. Blackwater took out a huge ad in a military publication. We're coming. That's all it said. So they're coming back. Now, let's jump to Afghanistan. He's really not, he says he's pulling out, but he's not. He's simply cutting the 14,000, and these figures are all up to debate, by half, pulling 7,000 out. The 7,000 will be immediately replaced with Blackwater if needed, so we're not going to create a vacuum there. The 7,000 remaining are primarily going to be in Kandahar and the other opium poppy areas. So the Taliban are just going to leave us play our opium games, I think, and back off those two provinces. There'll be some kind of a rapprochement of some kind. We're not giving up those opium fields. That's simple. It's not going to happen. Iraq, Trump said clearly, this goes again with this idea we're pulling out of the Middle East. He said, we're not leaving Iraq at all. In fact, we're building an enormous new base just across the Syrian border in Iraq. Why? Because, as Trump says, we can use it to launch operations in Syria if we need to. So we're still going to be doing the same crap. We're just repositioning. We're putting troops in from column A into column B and bringing in more Blackwater, which we all pay for. Mercenaries, they love big business. He's privatizing war. Your point about Libya is very good. Gaddafi's, one of his surviving sons, I think there's just one left, is being talked about as being the next, and he should be. And I hope he is. And I hope those poor Libyan people can recover even one-tenth of what they had under that great man, Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about all that stuff. But the big thing to remember is we've still been defeated, and that's why they have to keep playing these games. And look at Poroshenko. Look at his poll numbers going into this election in Ukraine. He's not going to win. He's so unpopular in Ukraine right now. So what are they going to do then? Yeah, they'll try something else. But it just indicates a weakness, I think, in the empire. And you know, the fact that they have to pull all these charades and play these games, and yeah, maybe Matt is stepping down. Maybe that was just part of the game, you know. Who knows? But I think the bigger point is just everywhere we go, we keep being defeated. We keep being being rolled back, and yeah, there's a lot of money in it, and even being defeated, there's a lot of money in Blackwater. Make a lot of money. They privatize. They'll make a lot of money. But it just, to me, indicates sort of what I'm trying to get at is this empire is hollow. This empire is not powerful. The Russians have this hypersonic missile now that we have no answer for, and the days are numbered. The days are numbered here. These little games they're playing, and this little game they've been playing for how many decades? Its time is coming, and you know, it's just TikTok right now. So even though, yeah, everything you say is probably right, and it's probably all games, and we're just going to use proxies in those places. It's just interesting that they would have to even say these things, that they would have to even say, even if Trump's not sincere, that they would have to say these things. Because the reason they have to say them is because people just don't want us there. People don't want us in Afghanistan. People don't want us in Syria.
People don't
want us in Iraq.
Nope.
People don't want us in Libya. People don't want us in Ukraine. And they're getting on to the gig, and they're getting on to the game. And you know, we got this huge thing in Poland going on now. Biggest troop deployment to Poland since like World War II or whatever, and you know, it's desperation time. It's like, yeah, the Russians got the goods. They have military superiority to the United States right now, the way it looks to me. And I don't know, this talk and these games are playing, it's only going to go so far. It's only going to go so much longer. And to me, that's a God thing. It's just a God thing. I have a lot of faith, and this ain't going to go on forever, you know.
All right.
It'll be allowed.
Yeah. So what I'm just getting at, and most all of you, and we've got people, Dean, listening all around the world, and maybe 100, who knows how many countries, and they all have their own political issues. They're all basically being controlled by their own version of their mainstream media combine. They're all being subjugated by screens, by electronics, by poisoned food from the West. Monsanto, Bayer, Monsanto, isn't it? They're pushing everywhere for their MSG additives and their other toxins and their GMO crops and their insecticides. And it's just, though, people, it doesn't, they don't, we're a universal family to that extent. People everywhere understand the same basic threats. They've got to become active, and they've got to get up, and they've got to do something. And you're 100% right. You couldn't be more right. And if we don't any longer, as Americans, have that ability, and we might not, it may have been taken away from us or minimized. You know what they found in Europe? That they were putting oxytocin, extra heavy doses of oxytocin in all dairy products in Germany, so the Germans would have this warm and fuzzy feeling, and they wouldn't want to get up and deal with their rotten government and everything else they've got to deal with. Everybody is being impacted by 4G, and when they roll out 5G, and you people know we've spent enough time on this. It's the control factor is going to be huge. And what Dean mentioned earlier, 23andMe, Ancestry.com, and it started with social media, where everybody lined up to tell the social media, not them, but their friends, yeah, I bought two rolls of toilet paper today. They're telling them everything about themselves. And the CIA and the DIA and the DOD and whatever other organizations, DARPA, they must be laughing their asses off at how dumb people are to get involved with social media, knowing that it's all being collected, collated, and piped into supercomputers everywhere from Pine Gap to Utah. I mean, it's nuts. And they're now the same reflex is happening with, wow, I'm going to find out about my genetic history, my ancestors. No, folks, that's not the game. The game is to get your genetic fingerprint in their computers so they can broadcast EMF and your genetic receivers will pick it up. Look at the double helix. It's an antenna. All those nodes in there didn't get there accidentally. That's a receiver, a sender. So this is all about control. And it's been talked about, but it's not widely discussed, not yet. But that's the kind of control we're facing. It's
absolutely.
It's overwhelming. You know it.
It's overwhelming. I've been seeing like yesterday. Okay, well, actually, this morning, you know, to call off this trip. I got up at 5 a.m. I didn't call off this morning, and I was going to leave. I had the parked car packed and looked at the road reports and the radar, and that was the end of it. So I tried to call my mom, tried to call my sisters and all that. Couldn't get through. I'd been trying to call this guy yesterday. Every time I pick up the phone, he'd say, the circuits are busy or something like this, which is something that I hadn't heard since like the days of party line phone, you know. But
that's
it turned
funny.
Out CenturyLink, my monopoly phone company that I am forced to, you know, pretty much go with, they had a nationwide outage where every CenturyLink customer in the United States, which there's probably, well, they're everywhere, so I don't know, it's tens of millions of people anyway, couldn't call out from their phones for like 36 hours. The day before that, Google was attacked. I was on the computer, and every time you try to go through Google, you couldn't get anywhere. And this is what I think is going to start to happen. It's starting to happen now, and it's going to continue to happen. These people, yeah, they think they're really funny people, really smart. They're so smart, and they sit at Langley, and they study us, and they mess with us, and they hop to the bankers and kiss their boots, and they think they're really sharp, and we're dumb, and they spy on us all the time, and they think it's funny. And what's going to happen is their technological control grid is just going to collapse. It's going to have a lot of problems. It's going to break. It's going to just start breaking. That's what I think is going to happen. And that's, again, I think it's a God thing. And it's just not going to be allowed to happen. It's happened before, you know, in history where, you know, cultures have gotten so evil, the leaders have gotten so evil, and oh, gee, the Great Flood, oh, gee, a tsunami, oh, gee, a volcano goes off. And this time around, it's just so easy because the tech system that they control us with and are controlling us with, no doubt about it, just like you said, everything true, is so vulnerable. It's so vulnerable. And yeah, because it is all electricity and it is all waves, and there's a lot of different forms of electricity. For example, there's lightning. For example, there's cosmic rays from the sun, sunspots.
Right.
There's a lot of electricity out there that isn't controlled by these expletives. And that's the part where, you know, their lack of humility is going to bite them in the ass. And I'm starting to see, I'm just starting to see these little things pop up, and like things are breaking and things are crashing and Wall Street's not doing good. And guess what? Wall Street's all on algorithms too, just like everything else. Once you get some selling going on, it just feeds off itself. You know, watch what happens next week, you know, in the stock market. I mean, they think they're in control of us. To some degree, they definitely are in control of us. They're dumbing people down. They're feeding us crap food. They're controlling the EMFs. That's all true. But I think at some point, their control system will not survive anymore because they're not that smart. These people are just not that smart. that's what it comes down to. They're not that smart. And it's really, technology has evolved beyond human intellect. And it's just vulnerable. It's very vulnerable.
You're right. But what worries me is your thesis is correct. We may run out of time, though. AI may step in. If AI steps in, it's we're in real trouble. And I pointed to the generation coming up behind the millennials, and I'm very concerned.
I know. It needs to crash.
When we're gone, Dean, what are the millennials going to look to? Half of them don't even know what we're talking about.
Look at it, really, and I'm like, okay, they got this vacuum robot. That's about all they got so far. I guess in car factories, they got the robot. And they can't even invent a robot vacuum cleaner, but you still don't have to kind of vacuum the floor anyway. You know, it still doesn't really work.
I know
what I mean? So it's like, a lot of it is just kind of this, they're trying to threaten us.
You know what, it's also gimmicks. It's gimmicky stuff.
So they mean a lot of it's marketing and it's so omnipotent and AI is so powerful, and I think this is a place where the slapstick comedy you were talking about comes in too, because you just have to laugh at it. The failures, the colossal failures that keep happening to these people, and these SpaceX rockets crash and they just can't seem to really get it figured out. And I don't know, it seems like to me 5G should have been out a long time ago. What's up with that? Why isn't that happening?
It's coming,
but I think it's just they don't really have a handle on this stuff like they tell us they do. So yeah, but I know it's a dance, it's a race, it's a fine line, and we just got to keep fighting and stop it. But I think I just have that faith, and I just think we're going to get some help, because it's happened historically. It's not just it's not just blind faith. It's studying history and seeing events and learning from from the native people, especially the Aborigines. And they just talk about rocks and sticks going in the ground at a certain time. I think that just means catastrophe. Game over.
Uh-huh.
And we're heating up the sun. It's like it's like the Earth has a temperature. I mean, we're heating up the Earth, no doubt about it. It has temperature. It's sick. And at some point, the doctor's going to come calling, and if we can't handle it, here comes the solar flare, and we're probably just toast. So handle it or die, I guess, And I'm okay with either one, but I don't really think this creepy thing is going to be allowed to go too far. At least not in my life, it ain't going to.
Well, if we get help, I'll be right there at the door with you, welcoming it in. And let's hope. Well, let's walk through 2019 and keep smiling and chuckling as much as we can, Dean. And thanks for everything, as always. You be well. Take care.
You too. Keep up the great work, and Happy New Year, Jeff.
Thanks, Dean. You too.
Bye.
Be right back with more after this.